80% of adults experience low back pain at some point in their lives, and it's kind of equal between men and women. Find out what it's all about, why it's happening, what we can do to prevent it, treatments, things like that. We have with us from the Mayo Clinic in Jacksonville, Florida, Dr. Eric Nottmeyer joining us. Good morning, doctor. Thanks for spending a moment with us today.
Well, it's a pleasure being with you and your listeners today.
Well, let's talk about this lower back pain. I guess what kind are we specifically talking about as far as our back pain is concerned?
Well, that's low back pain. You know, as you stated, 80% of adults will experience low back pain at some point in their lives. And that's typically the area of the spine that's in the lower lumbar area right above the waistline. And so, you know, low back pain is the most common cause of job-related disability, and it costs our country about $100 billion a year, mostly in lost wages and people being out of work. So it's a very significant issue.
Doctor, what's hurting back there? Is it the muscle? Is it the spine itself? What is it?
There's a whole variety of structures in our back. You know, our spine is a very complex anatomical structure with joints and discs and ligaments and muscles. And so there's a lot of etiologies of low back pain. In some cases, it may be a bad joint or a bad disc. And if that's the case, then, you know, that's what absorbs the movement in our spine. So patients with a bad joint or disc that's causing pain will have worsening pain when they're up and active and better pain when they're at rest. You know, some patients who've had trauma may have a muscle strain or a ligament strain, and that's another etiology of back pain. So there's multiple causes of low back pain.
Is it our fault? Are we doing something wrong, lifting something? Are our muscles not strong enough to support whatever we're trying to do? What's causing it?
Well, you know, in some cases it may be partially our fault, meaning we're doing things we shouldn't be doing. If we see something extremely heavy, you know, we should always get help lifting that. You know, in other cases, it's what we call multifactorial. You know, a little bit of a genetic involvement there. You know, osteoarthritis and degenerative conditions of the spine can run in families. You know, in some cases, it's lifestyle, which is not typically our fault. If someone's been a laborer all their lives, they may be more apt to have low back pain, but that's not to their fault. You know, they're just providing for their family. And so, but in other cases, we do have some fault to it. If we're, you know, overweight, very sedentary, we can do something to avoid low back pain in those type of cases.
What kind of treatment? I guess rest is part of it. What other things can people do to alleviate the pain, or does it go away on its own at a certain time?
Well, a lot of low back pain will get better on its own, but to help facilitate that, or in patients where the back pain is not getting better, most important initial step is a good back strengthening physical therapy program with a physical therapist, and that goes ahead and strengthens our core muscles around our spine. So it takes the weight of our body and diffuses it around our spine and not through our spine, and therefore that in itself can help with back pain. And the next step after that would be steroid injections in the back. If you have a joint that's flared up, sometimes a steroid injection right on that joint can cause that pain to improve.
You're a neurosurgeon who specializes in complex spinal surgery, image-guided spinal surgery. What is that type of technique, and is that sort of the way medicine is going to treat spine and back injuries?
Yeah, good question. Image-guided spinal surgery uses a computer to help track and guide our instruments. And so in the operating room, we do a CAT scan right there in the operating room. And then with the image-guided system, it tracks our instruments so we're able to navigate or see the patient's spine in 3D views. That allows us to put bigger screws in the spine in more accurate fashion and helps increase the success rate of surgery.
And do people recover quicker because of that then, I would assume?
Well, you know, the image guidance in itself can be done with open or minimally invasive techniques. The techniques where people can recover quicker are the minimally invasive techniques. Instead of opening the spine, the patient up and exposing the spine, we can use smaller incisions to put screws in and get our work done. So instead of really spreading the muscle, you're splitting the muscle. And in those cases, even though the long-term results of open versus minimally invasive are similar, the short-term recovery is better in minimally invasive surgery. There's less blood loss, and patients can get out of the hospital sooner.
At what point do patients need to really consider surgery? What's the timeline for that?
Well, I think if patients have been through a physical therapy program, which is about a six-week program, and if they go on to injections, that may be a 2 or 3 month series there. And if they still have back pain, I think they need to decide whether it's back pain that it really limits their life and really bothers them, or if it's back pain that just bothers them some of the time. If it's back pain that's significant for them, I think surgical options should be considered. I mean, some people walk in my office and they run 15 miles a day and they say, well, I can only run 10 miles a day now and because of my back pain. Well, I don't think those patients are necessarily going to get much of a gain out of back surgery. But the patients that come in and say, really, every time I walk or do something, my back hurts, it limits my normal activities, and that's a patient that should really consider surgery.
Can you leave us with some tips or techniques or things we need to do to care for our back so we can avoid the pain?
Yeah, definitely. You know, one thing is keep your weight down. If you're overweight or obese, then, you know, if you just try to carry a 25 or 30-pound dumbbell around your stomach every day, then anyone's back is going to hurt. So losing weight, if you're overweight, can have a result in a significant improvement in low back pain. Smoking can be correlated with low back pain. If you're a smoker, then quitting smoking can help with back pain. And if it doesn't, then at least puts you at less risk of surgery with back pain. And so, you know, staying as fit, as healthy as you can, good diet, avoid exceedingly strenuous activity, excessive heavy lifting. Those are the things that people can do to help avoid getting into a corner with back pain.
Where can people go maybe to get some more information on this type of a topic or just to get other help? Where's a good recommendation?
Yeah, definitely. www.mayoclinic.org is a great resource. I encourage patients to go and take a look at that website for more information.
Doctor, we appreciate your time and all the good advice this morning. Thank you.